So you have a new setup.
Yeah, I've been working hard on it. It's not finished yet, and I'm still getting used to setting up like doing Zoom calls like this. Like right now you're on my iPad, which is reflecting onto my teleprompter, so I'm able to look into your eyes while I'm talking to you, which is unlike a lot of Zoom calls where people are looking down at their computer and it looks there isn't much connection. So that's good, but it's tough because like if you were to share your screen with me, I'm pretty sure it would show up all the way over there, which is like 7 feet away from me, so I wouldn't be able to see it. So if I need to, I'll just move it back to my computer, and it won't look as cool, but I'll be able to help you if we need to share a screen or something.
Cool. Can you see me okay now? You
I can.
can. Cool. All right.
Yeah. So
Well,
what's going
anyway,
on?
I'll thank you for this opportunity to jump on a call with
Yeah. I'm excited to meet you.
you. Yeah. So
How did
how
you find my channel?
So I work with the roofing niche. So obviously what I was doing is I was on YouTube searching everything related to YouTube. I mean roofing. Facebook ads, etc. And you I come across you and it was like heaven sent.
That's nice. That's an amazing compliment. What about my channel and my content was helpful to you?
First of all, because you're so specific and you work purely with roofers, so it's like all of your content was based around one thing. So like that really helped me because I'm basically trying to implement the steps which you've taken. So because you're so focused, it really helped me to kind of everything you post about is what I need to see. So that's why I really like your content.
That's great. Where are you with your business? Do you have several clients?
I've literally just signed up to clients on a free trial basis.
Cool.
So I'm trying to, get my feet wet a little bit. And yeah, see what I can do for them and then see where I can take it from there.
How did you get those two clients?
So one of them is my nephew. He has
Cool.
a real business. So I thought I'd start off with him. And the other person is just somebody who I've done a cold email campaign a few weeks, actually about a month ago, and maybe a bit longer. And a couple of weeks ago, he just booked in a call and then he cancelled the call initially because he said he looked into my company and I didn't look credible enough. So what I'd done is I run ads for myself to kind of trial things out, just like a patio cleaning business. And I got a decent, like some results, got a few leads in, and I basically sent him to that and said, this is what I can do for you. And then we jumped on like a discovery call and then like a Zoom call where I sort of walked him through what I could do for him. And then he basically kind of said, yeah, let's go ahead with it.
So you have a patio cleaning business that you actually provide the service for?
I don't, but I thought if I can just set up some ads, I know how to clean patios. So what I done is I set up some ads, and then I basically done one job. So I basically made my money back from the ads, but it gave me a lot of courage knowing that it actually does work.
So you don't actually have a patio cleaning business formally, but you got yourself a patio cleaning job from the ads that you ran for yourself.
Yeah, I didn't think it would be that hard to clean a patio.
Yeah. I love that. That's actually really awesome. That's an amazing, that's a great story. So that was really smart of you, and like that's a really good hustle. And then you sent the you told that person that you were able to get yourself leads, or maybe you didn't say that it was your own business and that you were the patio cleaner, but and then he said, let's do it.
Yeah, well, he said let's do it, and I'm kind of I'm going through the onboarding process at the minute. He's filled out the form, and I'm just waiting for him to book the onboarding call and send me over a load of content.
And how are you onboarding him? What sort of form did he have to fill out?
I just have a Google form, and it's just some sort of basic information, regarding like business, just a few questions. I've sort of changed it about sometimes I. Before I had a load of questions on there, but I thought rather than giving them a load of questions on the form, I thought it might be beneficial to just kind of ask them questions on the onboarding call.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Very cool. And how are you delivering all of the services? Are you Are you running ads to landing pages? Are you building that all out yourself? How is that working for you?
Yeah, so at the minute with my nephew, like he's up and running. So I'm running just like a simple Facebook ad for him, offering like a free roof assessment plus 10% off. And that's actually going to an instant form. And I kind of, on this call, I wanted to kind of get your thoughts on instant forms versus landing pages. And I know what you're going to say, but kind of
Yeah,
get
so
your thoughts.
you've seen some of my content on that.
Yeah, I have. But I kind of wanted to just sort of test the waters, just kind of met with the offer first, see if I could get leads in with an instant form. And then, if I know that's kind of working, then sort of create the landing page.
So your nephew and you, are you both in the UK?
Correct, as you can probably
Okay.
tell.
Yeah. So what I would say then is you might not want to listen to me on instant forms versus landing pages because I am a fan of landing pages over instant forms in the US. I don't know how they perform against one another in the UK because I've never really run ads in the UK for roofing contractors. It may just be that in the UK, there isn't as much instant form fatigue as there is in the US, but I don't know. And you might get great results running ads with instant forms. They might be perfectly fine quality. They might come in at a great price. And sending people to landing pages may increase lead cost with very little to any increase in lead quality. That may very well be the case. There's no harm in testing out instant forms. And if they work really well, it's great because it's way easier to set up than building a whole landing page and doing all of that. I mean, it's actually not way easier if you have a great process in place for building out the landing pages. But it's certainly easier to track conversions and things like that. There are 100% of those are tracked versus with landing pages, you need to know how to set up all of the conversions API stuff so that all of the leads are attributed to the ads and all that stuff. So, and then I think you have to deal with GDPR stuff at a level that we don't have to in terms of landing pages, but I could be wrong about that.
For sure.
And so you've set up the instant forms for your nephew, and are they getting results thus far?
Yeah, even with the patio cleaning business, as soon as I've set up an ad, I've had a lead come through. Like I set it up at 7 o'clock in the morning and had a lead through at around 12 o'clock midday.
That's great. That reminds me of 3 years ago in the US on Facebook. It, maybe, maybe, maybe the UK is the hot market right now, where if you just do things well enough, you'll get really good results, really, relatively easily. That would be fantastic.
Yeah, the thing is, with the UK, I feel like the roofing business, I don't feel like they have the same infrastructure as the US, though. That is, I would say, the downfall, because I feel like a lot of the roofing companies here, they're a lot like smaller bands. They're like, they might be like, between 4 and 5 employees, maybe 10, and they're not very big. Whereas, in the States, I know that you have like these big roofing companies. They have like sales teams and all of that type of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, everything is bigger in the US, basically. I mean, people scale their companies out and build them into huge, gargantuan operations. But I'll tell you that the majority of my clients are very small roofing companies with no more than five total
Wow.
employees. Yeah, not including the crews.
Yeah, that's what I
You
mean.
know,
I mean, like,
owner, what's that?
I'm talking about crews. Like, they only have like a couple, like, they don't have like big crews out.
Yeah, so I'm wondering what kind of roofs you guys have there. Are they sh asphalt shingle roofs, or is it a lot of you have older infrastructure too. You've got more history there. You've got older homes and buildings and things. Are they asphalt shingle roofs by companies like Owens Corning and GAF and Tamco and CertainTeed, or are they Are they cement, tile, terracotta style roofs? Are they slate? I would imagine some are slate and other really high-end, like legacy materials. How does that work?
Yeah, so a lot of the, well, most of the rooms over here, it's mainly tiles and slate. We don't really have much asphalt.
So then, because it's a lot of tile and slate, are homeowners even needing new roofs very often, or are they just lasting forever and then they maybe need a roof repair on occasion?
So I don't, it's obviously, you have storms out in the States, so that's quite a big thing that obviously impacts your roofs. A roof in the UK can last a lot longer than out in the States. And that's probably something I should think about. I feel like roofs, they probably last between 20 to 30 years over here. So it's probably not as common for like a roof replacement, because if something goes wrong, they would probably want to just get repaired.
When you talk to your nephew, does he say that he's looking for roof replacements, or is he looking for more just roof repair customers?
So with him, we're targeting flat roofs. I don't know if you have flat roofs out in the States. I'm sure you do.
Yeah, we do.
We're just targeting like flat roof replacements, because I feel like the flat roofs, they're not quite as big. But then again, I do see other companies offering like roof replacement offers, and that the client that I'm onboarding at the minute, he does want roof replacements.
Flat roof replacements.
No, he wants like, pitched roof replacements.
Okay. Got it. Yeah, so for flat roofs, is it what type of flat roofs? Is it like a membrane sort of material that's put down with the coating and stuff, or is it like gravel?
It's like felt. We have something called felt, and it's like EDPM. It's like kind of rubber.
Like a TPO is TP does TPO ring a bell?
Not TPL. I know that there's EDPM and then there's felt. I'm not sure what else. I think that they're the main two.
So let's talk about flat roofs for a minute, because I have a few flat roof clients in the US and I do amazing work for them, and it's because and they're located in California mainly, but what we touch on in the ads that really is attractive to the homeowners that have flat roofs is, at least in the States, this is true, and in California, this is true, 7 out of 10 flat roofs can be repaired or restored rather than replaced. And so, what you'll run into, or I should say, one of the things you can say in your flat roof ads to attract a homeowner is that where all other roofing companies are going to always try to sell you on a full replacement, it's very often the case that you don't actually need a full replacement. And instead, what we specialize in is looking at your flat roof, diagnosing the issue, and then treating it and solving it. And oftentimes we can do that by restoring or repairing it. And a full replacement is just not necessary. And if there's a functional issue with the way that the roof is the gradient or something, and there's pooling of water in a particular corner, a replacement's only going to be a bandage anyway, because you're still going to have that deterioration in that particular area. And so we need to address that. It's actually better to only replace it than it is to just re or repair it than replace it with the problem still there. So you can write an ad around that idea, and when the homeowner reads it, they'll think to themselves, that's really interesting, because I had two guys out here, they wanted to replace my whole roof. They didn't really explain to me anything except that I needed a full roof replacement. And this person does repairs and restoration of flat roofs. So at the very least, even if I do need a replacement, at least I know that they would have told me a repair would work if that were the case. And so I'm going to trust them to get on my roof and actually talk to me, because if all a company has is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. And so if you can be the company that offers things in addition to replacement, less invasive things, then the homeowner is at least going to feel comfortable that they're not being recommended, you know, open heart surgery when all they need is a stent, right?
Yeah.
So that's what I would share with you about flat roofs. That can be a really interesting angle to take on your ads. And then in terms of roof replacements for pitch roofs, you know, I would really recommend, because I wish I knew more about pitched roofs and the roofing materials and what people are looking for in the UK. I just don't. So what I would say is, you know, you can certainly try. Well, let me ask you this. Have you looked up other, you know, like pitched roof ads in your area from other companies that are running them and found anything that's interesting?
Yeah, so there was one company that had a lot of ads out, and they look quite good ads. So I kind of saw this company as like, you know, they're doing quite well from the ads, because a lot of them they've been running for a while, and they was offering like the typical £1,000 off your roof replacement. But I feel like that's just so common. And also another thing is, a lot of the companies that I want to kind of like work with, I don't think they want to knock off £1,000. Like they don't want to run an offer like to knock £1,000 off. Do you see where I'm coming from?
Yeah, sure. They don't want to knock off £1,000, and even worse, or even more challenging, is the fact that homeowners usually think that if you're knocking off £1,000, you're marking it up £1,000 first anyway. So it doesn't. They usually think there's a lot. That's a lot of, you know, smoke and mirrors. So, you know, what you can do, and I do this successfully with several of my clients, is the same sort of concept as what I just said about flat roofs. If you can get a pitched roof roofer who does offer repairs but wants full replacements, you can often write an ad that says, you know, all the roofers want to replace a roof or nothing. All they want to do is replace your roof, even if all you need is a repair. We do repairs, but if you need a replacement, we'll recommend that instead. But the fact of the matter is, if all you need is a repair, we're not going to recommend a full replacement. So, you know, our offer to you essentially is, have us to your house, let us meet you, look at your roof for no additional cost. We'll do a full assessment of your roof and tell you what you need so that your roof protects your home. And if we get up there and we think all we need to do is add some caulk around the flashing, around the skylights, or whatever the case may be, then we'll do that. But if we see a, you know, functional issue that requires a full replacement, we're going to tell you that too, because at the end of the day, a year after we do business together, we don't want you calling us because you need us. We want to never hear from you again, basically. So when a homeowner reads that, they'll think to themselves, you know, this company offers all of the things I might need. And so they wouldn't suggest something to me that's too invasive, and therefore I trust them to come over my house. And then there's no pricing offer attached to it at all. Now, people are still obsessed with price. So how do you leverage their obsession with an ad like that? The headline might say something like, save thousands by repairing your roof instead of replacing it.
Right.
Right. So that's an amazing headline. It doesn't even require them to discount their services, because the only way you're saving thousands if you repair it instead of replacing it. It doesn't guarantee you that every roof can be repaired and not replaced, but it suggests that there's a chance. And so it's kind of like you're giving them hope that they're not going to have to drop £20,000 on a new roof, and they might be able to get it repaired for $4,500 or something. And so they're, at the very least, if they got two quotes from another company and it's, you know, it's between £20,000 and £30,000 to replace their roof, I mean, I would have someone to my house just to make sure a repair wasn't all I needed. So that would be a really cool thing to run as well.
Yeah. So I know I've have thought about offering repairs as well, but then I thought for me to get the best return for my clients, I'm kind of like, oh, if I'm offering repairs and it's only a small repair, whereas if I was only offering replacements, all they needed to do was just close one. So I'm kind of like, I want to get the best return for my clients. So
Well, you
that.
have to remember that homeowners, very rarely do homeowners roll out of bed in the morning and think they need a full roof replacement. Like if there's a little water coming in, they're thinking re the word repair is in their head, not replacement.
Yeah.
They're hoping someone can get it up on the roof and repair it and charge them $1,000 and that'd be it. But your job as the marketer is to get the roofer in front of the homeowner, get them to their house. And so, how do you convince a homeowner to have a roofer at their house? You give them hope. Hope that they're going to be able to just get a repair, maybe. But the guarantee that they're going to know for sure. And that's a really compelling thing because your job is not to sell the roof. That's the roofing contractor's job. Your job is to sell the homeowner on wanting to talk to the roofer on the phone. And then the roofer's job is to get to the house, right? So you're selling a phone call. He's selling the appointment and then the roof. Okay. So one of the most important things for an SMMA owner to do is to learn how to convince the roofing contractors to do things that are in their interest that they wouldn't otherwise really want to do. And one of those things is, convincing them to offer repairs. Now, if they don't have the capacity to do repairs, they don't have a repair person who they can just send out on jobs. They either have crews that do replacements and they pay them a certain amount of money and it's just not worth it to do repairs. That's a different story. If they can't do repairs, they can't do repairs. But if they offer repairs already, then you can definitely say, listen, because you offer repairs, you have the infrastructure there, you have the workflow there to do that. We should advertise that a homeowner may only need a repair, even if 9 out of 10 of them need replacements. My job is to get you to their house. And when you get there, you'll sell them on a replacement. You'll explain why a re simple repair is not going to do the trick, or you'll explain why you could repair it, but it's a major repair that costs $3,000 less than a full replacement might cost, right? You might as well get the full replacement, pick a new color, make your house look amazing. It'll last longer kind of thing, right? So being able to communicate to set, not only do you have to be good at selling, at convincing roofers to hire you, you have to be good at selling your ideas and your strategy to the roofing contractor.
Yeah, that can be difficult.
It can be, but you have to remember they suck at marketing. And so they need to buy into the fact that you're going to be recommending things to them that might feel a little bit uncomfortable, but it's going to make them a lot of money. And just like if they showed up to your house and said, I think you should get this type of shingle. And you were like, no, I want to get the shingle I want. And they're like, well, what? You don't know what you're talking about. You're a marketer, not a roofer. And you'd be like, okay, well, touche. You don't know what you're talking about either. You're a roofer, not a marketer. So you can do my roof and I'll do your marketing.
I fully agree with that. But one, I feel like where I'm currently at, just in the beginning, I feel like it's a bit of imposter syndrome, kind of not feeling competent enough because I haven't done it a million times, recommending them things because, I'm kind of new to this stuff, so I don't really 100% know. So I don't really want to recommend things, but then again, I need to kind of just trial things out. So that's why I'm doing the free trials.
Yeah. Well, listen, you're going to recommend them things based on some ideas that you might pick up from guys like me and other channels that might be valuable and give good advice and things like that. And that's still better than just doing whatever they say because they're not advertisers. So there's no way they know more than you do. And if they did, they'd be running a successful campaign already. Right. Or they would have hired someone to just do what they wanted to do and it would be great. But they're not. They're in need of help and you're someone that's able to provide that. And now what in to sort of mitigate the feeling of imposter syndrome, and to reduce the likelihood that they just don't feel comfortable doing things, you reassure them, but also yourself, that one of the most amazing things about digital marketing is how fast you can set up and run something and test it, and how quickly you can pivot to something else. So worst case scenario, you get an ad up and running, and 3 days later, 4 days later, you know, with a $50 per day ad spend, you get no leads and the CPMs suck and whatever. You say, listen, you know, you get in touch with them and say, Mr. Roofer, you know, your stuff's been running for several days now. It's not getting the results that I had, that I'm comfortable with. I have another angle that I want to take on the next campaign. This is what it is. I'll have it for you to approve in the next 24 hours. So just hang tight. I'm in your account and I'm going to make sure this works, right? And then you try something new, present it to them. You came to them before they came to you. In other words, you let them know you were aware of it not performing properly before they came to you and said, where are all the leads? So they feel confident and happy with the communication. And even though leads aren't coming in, they've met someone that they trust who cares about them and who's working hard to make things work. And that goes a long way. And all you need is time. So you're going to buy yourself some time, because eventually it's going to work. You're going to stumble upon the strategy that gets the leads, and you're going to be good to go. And then while you're doing all of that, as much and as often as your clients will talk to you and teach you about their business, I mean, soak that up like crazy, because that's huge. And if you can, you know, if there's a local roofer that you can do this work for, if you can go into their office and listen to sales calls that they go on, if you could go with them to, I mean, I did this. I went with a local client of mine a lot of times to meet with his clients or people he was trying to sell roofs to. And I got to hear from the homeowners what worried them, what concerned them, what, you know, what they were thinking and feeling. And that stuff is like, then you know exactly what to say to them to get into their heads. And so that's something I would recommend doing as well.
Yeah, I could just go on my nephew.
Exactly. You should totally do that. You know, so I would say 11 years ago or more, no, more than that, probably 12 or more years ago now, when I first started my digital marketing company, I was living in New York City, and I got a job just doing some marketing stuff for a fabric company. And so it wasn't roofing at all. It was a fabric company. I knew nothing. Okay. But I knew how to do a little bit of email marketing. So I convinced them to let me do work for them. And then I sat in their showroom where all their customers off the streets would come, you know, they would come in, these men and women who owned $1 million, you know, apartments overlooking Central Park. They would come in and have, and they would want like a custom upholstery done for their sofa and for a bedding and stuff like that. And that's what this company did. So I would listen to them talk to the owner, Gary, who was the guy that gave me my shot in this whole digital marketing world. And I would listen to him talk to them, and I would listen to their questions they had. And it was like a mastermind crash course in how to market to people looking for custom upholstery. Now, I didn't go into the custom upholstery niche because I don't find it as interesting personally as roofing. And I love this particular vertical, but I used that strategy to learn roofing after having realized how valuable it was to learn about custom upholstery and stuff like that. And you really just have to inject yourself into that culture just for not even that long, because every homeowner asks the same questions, basically. So you listen to 10 calls or go on 10 meetings, and that's all it takes. And you're like, all right, I got this. They're all concerned about A, B, and C. And then just reverse engineer it into a marketing plan, basically. Are you still there?
Yeah, it's like being actually in the trenches.
Yeah, being in the trenches, exactly. And
can you okay? Can I, yeah, I but I think my connection.
Yeah, I think the
So I'm
connection
just gonna
got pretty slow.
quickly, because I've got like there's like a bit of a storm here. I'm gonna quickly connect to my hotspot.
Okay.
Am I
You
back?
back? You're back, man. What's up?
Yeah, I'm back. Sorry about that.
No problem. Yeah, so in the trenches, you know, the beauty of being in the trenches is you'll be one of the few people that actually does it. And so you'll have a huge competitive advantage over people who are just trying to learn all this stuff in their bedroom, you know, or in their basement. And there's nothing wrong with that. You can learn a lot just on YouTube, but getting out into the real world and meeting people, talking to the roofing contractors, listening to the homeowners. If your roofing contractors, you know, if they make phone calls and they record the call, ask if you can listen to it.
I'm
I
recording
mean,
them.
yeah.
Like I am recording my nephew's phone calls on Go High Level.
Yeah, I mean, if you listen to podcasts at night to go to sleep, just fall asleep to those recorded calls instead, and just you'll just get tons of amazing nuggets of information, and you'll also just learn how to speak the language. I mean, you know, and that goes with selling your services to roofers too. I mean, when I get on the phone with a roofing contractor and he's a little skeptical of me, when he hears how much I understand his business, it's a done deal. He's very happy to hire me because he's like, okay, this isn't just some random marketer who's going to set up some generic campaign for me. This is someone who knows the roofing industry. So I certainly don't know as much as a roofer does who actually gets up on the roof and does it for his living, but I know enough to be dangerous and to do good work for them.
Yeah, no, I'm fully with you on that.
Yeah, man. So, what else?
But I'm gonna, I did have some questions that I wanted to ask you.
Sure.
So first of all, this is actually kind of like in regards to like myself and the agency. What would you say in the beginning the best sort of client acquisition method is?
So, are you trying cold outreach right now?
Yes, so I've tried many different forms of cold outreach, and I'm trying to just I don't know I'm not I'm quite, I can be quite inconsistent with it, and I wanted to kind of see which one you recommend.
I've always sucked at cold outreach. I really did. The way I got, and I still get my clients. So I get my clients in several ways now, but most of them are ways that wouldn't be relevant to someone that's just trying to get clients for the first time, because there are things that are a result of having grown into what, you know, my SMMA has become. But like my YouTube channel, I get lots of clients just through there and stuff like that. But the way I get the majority of my clients otherwise is running my own Facebook ads, just like you did for the patio company. You know, I run Facebook ads for myself that attract roofers and get them to schedule calls with me, and that's how I get my clients.
So, say if I did have the funds available, would you recommend even just in the beginning running ads for myself?
I would, yeah. And I know it's scary because it costs money, and there's
Well,
risk there. But I would focus on the UK, and I would, you know, I would, if I were you, I would try to just dominate the UK.
you know, that's the plan. I want to start off local. So yeah, I'm definitely gonna just gotta stay within the UK because there's different lingo, as you said, like
Yeah.
shingle roofs, tile roofs. I would be in the UK.
That's
And
great. That's awesome.
what angle did, like, say, would you go about in running whilst running the ads?
Yeah, so I would start. So the angle for your ads to attract roofers in your area, I think you're always safe starting with pointing out the pain points that they're experiencing and just kind of digging your thumb into those pain points. So if roofers in your area, and ask your nephew this, ask him what lead generation services he's tried before. Ask him if he's bought leads before and how that went and things like that. And basically just say, listen, if you've ever purchased leads from Angie's List or Home Advisor or whatever companies in the UK are selling leads, and they sucked and the leads were sold to multiple contractors, and so you had to lower your prices to win the job, and that's not sustainable. That's an issue, and that's not a good feeling. And so what I do is I set up systems where you generate your own exclusive high quality roofing leads or homeowner leads, and you're the only one that gets it. So you're the only one that's making that phone call to them, and that's just way better. And just kind of focus on the pain points and then what you offer as a difference and a solution for that. And you really can't go wrong with that. And then the headline's very simple: high quality exclusive roofing leads. Done. Simple. And it can be a picture of you smiling. It could be a picture of a house. It could be a picture. It could be a video of you explaining what you do and or talking about the pain points that we just discussed and said kind of how I said it. And you can run five different ads with all, pictures and videos and things all at the same time. And just, I mean, you could try using an instant form, and if that works, that's great. I like sending people to landing pages, having them fill out their name, email, phone number, maybe the name of their roofing company. And then when they click submit, having it take them then to a thank you page, which is really step two. And on that page is a calendar where they can book a call with me, and it just shows up on my Google Calendar.
Yeah, so I guess you could obviously go from even a landing an instant form to a pad and B. You could just redirect it.
You can't
Oh,
make an
that.
instant form redirect to a landing page. The best you can do with an instant form is you can have them submit it, and then it takes them to the thank you page on the instant form that Facebook defaults to. And then you can then write on there, you can say, we've received your information. For step two, click the button below to schedule a phone call, or you're not done yet, click below to schedule a call. And then they click it, that goes out to the landing page. But the problem is then they have to click it to go there. Whereas if you start on a landing page, you can redirect them to a page that has the calendar embedded onto it. And so it's right there. There's no extra step of having to click again to go to the calendar, which can make a difference.
So it just adds a bit of friction, but you probably get a bit of a cheaper cost per lead.
Yeah, exactly. And if they fill out the instant form and don't schedule, then you have to call, text, and email them to try to get them to schedule. And then you're kind of chasing down leads, which is fine. You should do that anyway for people that submit a form and then don't do step two. But they might do step two more often if it's right in their face than they would if they think they were finished.
The less friction, the more smooth the process.
Yeah, the less friction from like submitting the first form to getting to the calendar is good. But then on the calendar to actually schedule the appointment, I give them a lot of friction because I don't want people to easily schedule appointments with me and then not really want to talk to me. And so if it's too easy to schedule, that's an issue. But if it's too hard to get to the page to schedule, that's stupid. So they should be easily able to get to the page to schedule. And then it should be a little bit difficult for them to actually schedule because you're asking them a lot of questions and you're vetting them, you're qualifying them with the questions you're asking, so that you know that anyone can get through this form and actually schedule the call is pretty darn serious about wanting to talk to me.
That actually brings me on to my next question. I was going to say, what would you say that actually qualifies like a client?
Before I talk to them?
Well, yeah, just in general, like what would you class as like a qualified like roofing company?
Yeah, the person that's submitting everything is the business owner. They currently do a handful of roofs at least per month. If it's someone who does no business, like they're trying to just get into roofing, or they're a roofer who, you know, does one or two roofs a month and they're really struggling, I mean, that could be a qualified client, but that's usually a little bit of a red flag. So you want someone that has a healthy, but you know, a healthy business, but is ready to grow, and they might just not know at all how to get leads. So they're doing a handful of roofs a month. They've got good Google reviews. They usually have a website. They have a business name. They're legitimate, and they really are serious about running a good company. It's just that they just don't know how to get leads, and that's the thing you can solve for.
Yeah. My nephew, the problem with my nephew is the company isn't really established. He doesn't even have a website, so he's actually literally just starting out.
And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I help a lot of people like that, but it's challenging because you're up against a lot. I mean, you might do a fine job getting them leads, and they just might not be able to close any of them, and they don't look with, and they just, it's tough. So even though you're doing a good job, it might not work out. But some of my best clients are people that came to me as salespeople of other companies and said, I'm thinking about leaving this roofing company and starting my own thing. Can you help me? And I helped them with the website and the marketing. And the next, you know, a year later, they're hiring salespeople and administrative assistants. And it's amazing. So I think instead of worrying about, what makes for a qualified potential client for you, I would focus on how to streamline the onboarding and delivery of the services that you offer with such precision and with so little effort on your end that it doesn't matter if you sign up 3 out of every 10 people you sign up end up being the worst. It doesn't matter because you're just going to get as many people on as you can, try to do great work. A good portion of them are going to move forward and pay you, and you're off to the races. But if onboarding and delivery takes hours and hours and headache after headache, then you're going to have to be really precise with who you talk to on the phone and who you decide to onboard and whatever. Because it's going to take a lot of time and you don't want to waste your time. But, you know, between the sales call, which should last 20 to 40 minutes, the onboarding, which should last under 45 minutes or under, and the building out of the entire account, ads and everything, should take 30 to 60 minutes, call it 2 hours per client total from sales call to delivery. It should be under 2 hours to do all of that.
And so when obviously once you've, is that with doing like the market research as well? Because if you're working with like a new client, kind of do like a bit of market research, but then if you're only working with one niche, the market research will probably be quite the same for all clients. Or like, does that include, you know, kind of finding out about their ideal customer, pain points, etc.? The campaign.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that you need to do any market research. I think that's kind of a term that sounds really fancy to roofing to the businesses who are looking for a marketing company that's going to do good work. So it's some marketing company be like, "Oh, we're going to do all the market research," and it's like, "Well, what are you researching?" Like for roofing, it's just, homeowners need roofs. And that's it. And as long as you know what kind of roofs people get, and you're not going to like run an ad for shingle roofs in the UK where all they have is slate, then you're good to go. And it's just a matter. And all homeowners want the same thing too. They all want a fair price and good work done. That's it. And so it's really just a matter. So it's, there is no market research. I actually think that if a business owner that you're talking to said to you, what about, are you going to research my market? Like, are you going to do market research? If you answered them kind of like I just did about the market research thing being basically just BS, they'll probably fall in love with you right then and there, because they'll be like, you know what? You're right. They all want the same thing. They all want a good roof. I do good roofs. You're going to get leads for me because you're going to communicate that to them. Done deal. Simple. Like, I think people think they want like extravagant explanations and complex, brilliant plans. But that's just because they think that if it's really hard for them to understand, it's smart. But it's really the other way around. When something is really simple to understand, that's smart. And you can, that's kind of the energy you should shoot for, I think.
So would you say that even like the position where I'm at right now, I should spend a fair amount of time, kind of working on that, say the onboarding process and kind of building sort of like the infrastructure around that to kind of get clients on board quickly, get the ad set up quickly? I just feel like I'd be at the right stage to do it now.
I don't understand the question. Do I think you're at the right stage to start getting clients and onboarding them?
Like building out like a system to actually onboard clients quickly, or, should I focus all of my efforts on, say, outreach, and then maybe once I've got X amount of clients, then start to build like a system to like onboard clients?
Right. Yeah, no, that's a good question. So so what you should do is you should focus all your energy on just trying to get sales calls scheduled and talk to people on the phone. Okay. And then as soon as the first person says, yes, let's do it, what you ought to do is document your whole process that you go through in order to onboard them, to get the access you need to their Facebook accounts and all of that, and just list it out every single step in list form on a Google Drive bulleted, bullet document or whatever. And just have a battle sheet, just a list of things you need to accomplish. You need to get access to their Facebook business manager, need to have them share their screen with me and create an ad account. I need to add a payment. They need to add their payment method, and I'll help them do that on the call. We need to make sure their Facebook business page is brought into the business manager. And basically that's all you have to do with them on the call. And then maybe talk about a couple other things that you might need to talk about. And then you need to add yourself into their business manager as a full admin user. And then you can, and then with them off the call, now that you have access to their business manager, you can share their business manager as a partner with your business manager. So you have access that way as well, kind of as a backup in case they delete you as a person or that something happens. And just, list out all of those things so that you don't have to worry about it and think about it. And then what do you do to build out an account? First thing you do is you write the ad copy, and maybe you have a library of ad copy that you've written that you know works with other clients in the UK, but in different service areas that you can use for this new client. You just copy and paste and replace some links, and the name of the owner or whatever is in the ad copy. But you list out, I do that first, and then I do this second, and then I do this third. And I remember when I first started getting dozens of roofing clients per month, I was like, it was crazy. The pandemic happened and I lost so much of my business because I had tons of non-roofing clients, but they all shut down, except the roofers were still going because they were an essential business. So I went from losing like 80% of my clients to quadrupling and then eventually 10xing my business in like a matter of 6 weeks. And so I remember that first month, I said to my wife, I was like, oh my God, I just lost like all my clients. And then 15 days later, I was like, oh my God, I just got 30 new clients. So I would wake up at like 3 in the morning and I would start building everything out for the new clients and blah, blah, blah. But I was like, man, I need to like streamline this so that it's like, so that I don't have to think anymore. I just press the buttons in the right order and it all works. And then once you do that, it's, that becomes a standard operating procedure that you can then say you can hire a friend or you can hire an outsourced person in, you know, the Philippines. And you can say, listen, we got a new client. This is the info. Go do it. And you'll wake up the next day and everything will be built out. And, you know, that's kind of the next step. But that was a very verbose, rambly way of saying that you should just launch, just get new clients, build them out, be cognizant of your process and tune it as you go. Don't try to figure it all out before you start. Start, and as you go, fine tune it and figure things out. Because you're not going to be able to anticipate everything anyway.
Yeah, that can be a common problem. Trying to do everything just at once, you know, trying to run before I walk. I've experienced that a lot.
Exactly, and then also just to kind of plug the course that I'm building. I don't know why I put that in quotes, but the course that I'm building, I'm going to be showing you my whole process. So I'm going to be teaching from start to finish exactly what I do step by step. From acquiring clients, doing sales calls, onboarding them, building them out, everything. So, you know, you'll be able to create your own process, but then you'll be able to look at the way I do it and use what works or use the whole thing. It's, you know, it'll be up to you.
Yeah. And in terms of optimization of ads, do you have like a system or like a process that you follow, you know, like you check it every 3 days and then you notice something? Like, what's your sort of system and sort of process around optimization?
So based on the amount of spend per day, I keep it super simple. I determine what the minimum number of leads I'm comfortable with on a daily basis on average. And then I'll check into my clients' accounts every 3 to 7 days to make sure that they are receiving leads like they should be. What I also do though is I have all of my clients' leads automatically also sent to me in my email into a certain folder automatically. So, and I just check them periodically throughout the day to see if lead flow looks good. And you'd be surprised. I have many dozens of clients and I'm able to kind of scroll through all these hundreds of leads per day and very easily, I don't know why, but I'm able to say like, you know what? I didn't see any leads from XYZ company today. And I'll jump into the ad account and just be like, oh, there's an error. There's account error. You know, their payment was rejected and I didn't see the email alert for it, or they just didn't get any leads today. Let me make sure their landing page is still working properly and everything's loading properly. And so you can kind of spot check like that as well.
So how often will you change an ad, or, you know, like, and also do some reports to clients, like this is what we've done in your ad account, or like if they get leads coming through and they're happy, do you even bother?
If they get leads coming through and they're happy, I don't bother them with a bunch of data that they're not going to understand. They understand amount of jobs. They understand lead flow and the amount of jobs that they're able. So they understand a few things. They understand lead flow, lead to contact ratio, how easy it is for them to contact the leads they're getting and schedule the appointments, and ultimately how many they close from the leads they're getting per month. Other than that, they don't really care. Like they don't care. They don't know what CPM is and they don't want to know. They don't know about cost per click and they don't care. It doesn't mean anything to them anyway. And it doesn't mean anything to anyone really. I mean, a $3 cost per click, is not worse than a $1.50 cost per click if the $1.50 cost per click results in zero leads and the $3 cost per click gets you leads. So it's like, what really matters? What really matters is the amount of closed jobs per month. And it all kind of backs up from there. So, what I do though is I build everything on top of that CRM that I recommend, High Level, which I'll link to if I post this video. But on that CRM, they have a dashboard that's already built out. Like by default, they can just log right in and look at their dashboard to see the relevant information. We connect their Facebook account so they can see lead flow right in there. They don't have to worry about going into the business manager or anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm currently using Go High Level.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, that Go High was great.
Yeah, it is fantastic. Yeah, man.
There's one other thing.
Yes, sir.
This might be it. Would you be able to share your Basecamp, like a project on there?
Share with you like how I, what a project looks like and what I use it for and everything?
Because I know that you can have like a template on Basecamp.
Yeah.
So I didn't know
I'm 100% going to share that. And I'm going to share it because that's what I use Basecamp as my battle sheet, my step-by-step. This is what I need to do to build out an account. So I'm going to share that. I'm going to share how everything really. So like when we get a new client, we duplicate or we create a new project from a template. That template has in it all the steps we need to do to get a client launched. Now, it's relevant to me and my business because all the steps pertain to what I personally do. Now, you use High Level also, but you might have a different snapshot or different procedure within High Level that will differ in terms of the Basecamp steps. But most importantly, when you watch that training video, is just going to be sort of how I think about designing the template so that it's easy to follow. And then you'll be able to edit it to suit your own needs. I actually don't think Basecamp allows template sharing. At least it didn't last time I tried. So you'll probably just have to manually type out everything that I do, and I'll provide like a screenshot of it so it's easy to do. But Basecamp is amazing for that. And frankly, so we use Slack right now to communicate with our clients, but I switched off of Basecamp to communicate with clients. But I actually wish I never did. I wish I just kept it all in Basecamp because Slack is good, but like, I don't know. I just,
why first did you of all, switch from Basecamp to Slack if you was going?
I switched the communication with my clients from Basecamp to Slack. And I'll tell you why I did that. I did that because, and by the way, this didn't solve the problem, and I'll tell you why it's stupid. But I did it because on Basecamp, there are two ways to communicate with me if you're the client. You can talk in the campfire in Basecamp, which is like this chat room where everyone in the project gets alerted when someone starts chatting. That's how I want them to communicate with me, so that my assistant sees it and so that it lives in their project and we can easily see all the communication. Or you can ping me, which is a DM, basically, right to me. Well, a lot of them would ping me, and then I wasn't able to share that conversation with my assistant. And so things would fall through the cracks and I'd get overwhelmed. And it was no way to easily find the pings for a certain client and tie it back to their project. It was a mess. Well, the same thing happens in Slack. They can communicate with me on their channel or they can DM me. So it's like, yeah. it's no better. It's actually really annoying that there isn't a way on Basecamp to say that I want this person only to be able to use the campfire and not ping me. Maybe there is, and I just haven't figured it out, but I would use Basecamp. It's fantastic. And it's also cheaper because Slack, after you reach a certain number of guest users in your account, they start charging you. So I'm at that point. Whereas with Basecamp, it's a flat fee. You get as many projects as you want. You can add in as many people as you want to the project. So Basecamp's amazing. Yeah.
I'm using WhatsApp at the minute to communicate with clients. I just create a group. It's quite simple. Everybody has WhatsApp. So that's why I've used it.
Are you communicating with all your clients in that group, even though they're not all working together, or you have different?
No, that's separate groups. I only have like two people that have got the groups.
Right.
For. I just have a separate group.
I got you. So you can create groups. So like if you have three people that work at company A and five people that work at company B, you can create a group, company A group and a company B group, and you add the group of people into each thing. That's smart. That's great. I mean, if that works well for you, that's fantastic. That's awesome. I should do that myself.
The reason why I do it is because it's convenience, you know, like a lot of the contractors and roofers, they're not using like all of these like fancy tech things. So when you try and give them something like Slack, it can be a bit confusing. So I found that keeping it simple and just using something like WhatsApp, what they're already using, is like one of the best ways to communicate with them.
Yeah, I know that they use I think WhatsApp is more popular in Europe than it is in the US in terms of like everyone using it. I don't think that many people use WhatsApp here. I'm
Oh.
not saying that not that many people use it. A ton of people use it, but I don't think anyone in my family uses WhatsApp, for instance.
Okay. Yeah, it's a lot more common over here.
But it is owned by Facebook, so getting them onto it would be probably really easy.
Yeah, it's literally it is very, very, very easy. You can literally just create an add your phone number and you basically verify it, and then yeah. There's no apps, well, you app, but it doesn't seem.
And there's no learning curve. It's a messaging platform, so it's simple. They all know how to use it out of the box. So, yeah, that's smart.
Well, I see we're at 9:30. Is
Yeah,
can
what
I
time is it where you are? Is it 8:30? Is it 8:30 p.m. where you are?
9:30.
9:30. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's 4:30 in the afternoon where I am. So I eat early. I eat dinner early because I have two young children. So we eat dinner around 5 p.m. 5 p.m. But
Just a
what
quick
about
one. What?
you?
Oh,
What's up?
I haven't eaten my dinner yet. I'm gonna have to eat it when I go in.
Nice.
But what is actually like? Is there like the purpose behind you why you offer these 1 hour calls?
Like, why am I doing this with you?
Yeah, like what's the reason behind it?
I am 41 years old. How old are you, by the way?
23.
23. I remember being 23 like it was yesterday. And when I was 23, I was working in a restaurant, from at my uncle's restaurant in Baltimore City, in Maryland, where I'm from. And it was an Italian restaurant called Ciao Bella. His name is Tony Gambino, and he gave me a job as a waiter, right? And I just remember all I wanted to do was like go out and drink and party and meet girls and whatever. But that's not really all I wanted. It's all I thought I wanted because that's what I thought was cool back then. And the reality of it, though, I was having fun when I went out, but I was feeling depressed and lost when I was home. And I felt no sense of purpose whatsoever. And I just didn't feel happy in my life. I think, and many years later, when I was 28, 29, living in New York City, because I moved there to do stand-up comedy when I was 25. And after doing a lot more partying and a lot more stupid things, I started a company and I started to feel better about myself and I started to feel purpose and I started to feel self-esteem. And I wish I would have done these things and been productive and had direction earlier on. And so I really love. When I realized that the SMMA thing was something that a lot of young men in particular were looking to start, and I think it's because of guys like Andrew Tate and whatever, I thought to myself, I have an opportunity to connect with mostly young men who I can relate to because I remember being a young man, and I can maybe help them have that light bulb go off a little bit sooner than I did, and sooner than they might have had I not helped. And so I absolutely love, I love doing these calls and being of value to people.
Yeah, no, I really do appreciate it because I feel like being able to talk to somebody who's like done what you've done, especially when you're starting out, when you know sometimes like for like a call like this, might have to pay like a lot of money. Having like just one opportunity for like this call today can really help me and change the trajectory of my life.
And that would be amazing if that were the case. And at the very least, even if the concrete things that we talked about aren't what make your ad successful or something like that. At the very least, if you just take away one thing, and that is that if you stay positive about what you're doing and you just stay the course, you'll figure it out. And along the way, if you ever need anything, I'll be here to help out.
Yeah, that is the key thing. I've made like a very firm decision that however difficult it does get, I'm just not gonna go off course.
Yeah.
And I know that the longer, if I stick at it for however many years, it will work out.
Absolutely.
So that's
and just to kind of get you excited, this should work much faster than you think. Like it just doesn't take, like if you're grinding and grinding and a year and a half from now, you don't feel like you've made much progress, then you need to get in touch with me and we need to figure out why, because there are only a couple of things you need to get right to be really wildly successful. And that's another reason I wanted to start this channel and really grow it and meet guys like you, is because it isn't rocket science, but there's just so much information out there that it's easy to get distracted by the junk and to spin your wheels doing stuff that doesn't matter. And so what I'm hoping to do is I'm hoping to zero in on the few things that really matter so that you can fast track your success. Because when I'm telling you I have a simple way of doing things for my clients and delivering amazing results, I mean it. And I was just talking to someone earlier today on a call just like this. And you know, he told me he bought a course called Agency Something, and he spent $8,000 on it. Okay. And he said once he logged into the course, and there are like so many videos to watch that he doesn't even know where to start. And it's going to take forever to get through them all. And I said, you know what? I've bought courses before, and I know that feeling. I've created courses before, so I know how to create them. And I'll tell you what I would rather buy. I would rather spend $10,000 on a course that took 3 hours and told me everything I need to know perfectly, so succinctly and beautifully that I could implement it overnight, than I would spending $5,000 on a course that had 150 videos that took me 3 months to get through. I would rather spend twice as much money with a fraction of the content if the content was good and all I needed. And so what I'm going to be doing with my course is I'm not going to be putting a bunch of filler in it just so it looks like it's worth the money. I'm going to be putting value in it so that it's obvious that it's worth the money, because the goal is to have you be able to go through my course in under a week and have life-changing results like day one. And whenever you see someone with a ton of content stuffed into a course, that's a red flag. It's usually just because they're thinking, oh, how do I make it look like it's worth $5,000? Well, that's not the way to go about it at all.
I bought a course literally 2 weeks ago, and it's meant to be like $6,000, but so far he let me in on like a payment plan. So far I've paid $1,000, and there's just so many different things, and it's so complex, you know, like creating like YouTube videos and then Facebook groups and all of these things, which I know that they do work, but I feel like there's so many moving parts. Just in the beginning, it's a bit like, whoa, where do I begin, you know?
Right. And it's like when there needs to be some instant gratification, and not fake gratification and not fake instant gratification, but real results right away. And so I'm really excited to release the course so that more people can get those results, because it's just, I think people are doing this stuff wrong. I think these course creators are, I think a lot of them just don't really know what they're doing. And so it's like, I'm from Maryland, so we're known for crab cakes, like a delicious Maryland food where they take like jumbo lump crab meat and very little filler, and they make these amazing crab cakes. Well, you get a crab cake in other parts of the country, and it's like very little crab and all breading and filler and junk. And like, so people from Maryland are like, all right, these aren't real crab cakes. There's no value in there. There's no crab in there. So I want to make the course with the jumbo lump crab meat and no filler.
That
because, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's how it should be. When is the course coming out?
I mean, I've been talking about it forever, but you know, I wanted to do it right. So it needs to be refined, and so I built this studio, and I'm still finishing it up, and I'm going to finish the course. I've been scripting it out, so I'll shoot it over the next 30 or so days and release it shortly thereafter.
Okay, well, you know, if you're looking for somebody to kind of trial it out and, you know, get their feet wet,
Yeah.
that'd be
Yeah, man, that would be great. I would love the feedback.
No, well, yeah, I mean, I'm definitely, when you do bring out a course, I'd definitely be interested in taking a look at it.
Awesome. Cool, man. Well, it was great talking to you. And shoot me an email or message me somewhere on wherever I exist, and keep me posted. Let me know how things are going, okay?
I will do. Will this, what are you going to be doing with this video? Will this be posted on YouTube, or how could I kind of, I took a few notes, but then I kind of thought if this was being recorded, hopefully I could kind of gain access to actually rewatch
Yeah,
it properly.
I will post it on YouTube, but I'll send you the recording before it's posted.
Okay. What would be the best way to contact you?
Have you contacted me on any of the platforms before, any DMs or anything?
No, I don't think so.
Are you following my Instagram profile?
No, I don't believe
Okay.
I am. Not
Okay.
very.
Did you subscribe to the newsletter?
Yes.
Okay. Just shoot me a reply on one of those emails. I think you already did, which is how you got on this call. I probably sent you a link to schedule it. So contact me via email for now. And then over email, I'll send you my other ways to like text message me and stuff.
Cool.
Cool.
Yeah. Thank you.
Or WhatsApp. I have WhatsApp now.
You have WhatsApp?
Yeah.
What's the phone number? Or
here, let me get
yeah.
let me bring Zoom back over to my computer. Hang on a second. All right, I'll send you a chat.
Oh, 4-4. That's a 4 number.
Oh, so it's, I'm sorry, it's, so that's the country code.
UK.
So +1 410 and then the rest.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man.
Okay, cool. Well, as I said, I'm definitely interested in, you know, the course. So I want to be the one of the first to actually. Find out when that comes out.
You got it, man. We'll be in touch, and looking forward to talking again.
Cool. Brilliant. Thank you, Michael. It's highly appreciated. Thanks for
my pleasure, man.
YouTube
You
as
got
well.
it. You got it, man. See you. Bye.